Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Data Dave Dives Deeper. I am Alexis, your host of this podcast, and hopefully your favorite podcast, Talk Tech with Data Dave. I'm here today with Data Dave and Eric Lee to talk about some words that I don't even understand. So I'm really excited about that. But before we get started, I love to remind our listeners, please submit your question to Data Dave by asking Data Dave at talktech@d3clarity.com. Simple email or hopping on the D3 Clarity website to send a question would be awesome. You can also volunteer to join us on one of these Data Dave Dives Deeper by emailing us that same email address, talktech@d3clarity.com. Dave, how are you today?
I'm very well, Alexis. How are you? I'm excited
Good.
with to have Eric with us today.
I was just thinking about one of the previous episodes that you and I recorded, Dave. You mentioned the word taxonomy, and you gave me like a quick definition, and then you were like, that's for another podcast. And in the back of my mind, I was like, it's for the podcast with Eric Lee. I'm so excited.
That's right, it is. So Eric and I met at DGIQ, as you well know, and Eric is a professional taxonomist and information architect. I thought it would be better, having mentioned taxonomy and mentioned talking about classification and other things in terms of machine learning and technology today quite frequently. So I thought it was probably wise for us to have an expert could join us here to talk about taxonomies and on from that, ontologies. And we'll get into both of those. So, Eric, welcome. Glad to
Oh.
have you here. Very excited to have you here. And you are a taxonomist and information architect. Let me ask you two questions right off the bat. One is, how does somebody become a taxonomist and information architect? And then what does that mean?
All right. Awesome. Well, I'm very glad to be here myself. Thank you so much. Usually there's two routes by which somebody comes into the field. Usually it's either coming from a library background where you kind of learn about classification and organization, and a
Okay.
lot of classes that teach information architecture work or related work are in information schools where there are also library classes. So usually they tend to get bundled together or at least have a little bit of overlap. Or sometimes others will come in from the tech side. So they may be doing like IT work or
Okay.
database administration and start learning more about how things are organized, become interested in that. For me, it was the former.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that story. Where did you start?
I was always kind of a nerdy guy. So all growing up, I'm like, I'm going to work with books at some point in time. Once I found out you could get a degree in something called library science, I was like, well, that's me. Count me in. Like, which is funny because I got my bachelor's in film studies. And then
Okay.
I still wanted to do library science. And eventually I decided, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for my master's in library science. And then while I was taking my library science courses, one of the courses I took was an introduction to information architecture. So we went through a couple of
Okay.
the foundational texts in the field and talked about it. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I am interested in this. And at the time, I was working for a retailer doing customer service work. And I had a question, and I'm like, oh, this is a taxonomy question. I know what that is. So I decided to look. I'm like, I wonder if our company has a taxonomy team. And they did. And
Okay.
also, they were hiring.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I decided to try it out and I enjoyed it. And I've been working in the taxonomy field ever since. That would be about since late 2015.
So taxonomy has nothing to do with tax,
No, it has nothing
right?
to do with income tax. It has nothing to do with stuffing animals.
That was where I was going to go next.
Oh, old I good
had
taxidermy
somebody.
joke. I like that.
I
I
had
had
somebody
somebody
actually ask
ask
me,
me,
like,
like,
you're
you're
leaving
leaving
the
the
company?
company?
I'm
I'm
like,
like,
no,
no,
I'm
I'm
just
just
going
going
to
to
a
a
new
new
team.
team.
And
And
he
he
said,
said,
but
but
taxidermy.
taxidermy.
I'm
I'm
like,
like,
oh,
oh,
okay.
okay.
Okay,
Very
so.
good. Dave, I think you're going to ask this question too, but I'm going to ask it. You guys keep saying taxonomy. And Eric, I've heard you drop the word classification. One of my best friends has a master's degree in library science, so I know a little bit about it. That's what Dave said as far as a definition for taxonomy, but I need more information. Help me understand this word a little bit better. Put me with some context.
All right. So taxonomy, it's a term borrowed from biology. So you remember your kingdom of life, you have your five kingdoms, your animal,
plant.
My brain's
So I
just
don't
like
remember
animal,
that
vegetable,
much.
mineral.
Yeah.
That's what I've got. Yeah.
Animal,
Okay.
vegetable, I think like fungus, stuff. A lot of single-celled organisms. So biological taxonomy is like, where do these living things go in this kingdom of life? Like, how is it arranged? And what are the relationship? Taxonomy, as far as knowledge management and information, is kind of the same thing. Technically, a taxonomy is a hierarchical list of terms that have broader, narrower term relationships. So, like parent child. So, like car might have narrower relationships, like coupe, sedan, da, da, da. A lot of times in practice, taxonomy will also have relationships, like related terms, like dogs and dog food can be similar somewhat, but they're not like a strict parent child, for instance. And synonyms, so like car, automobile, these are the same thing. But if you're, for instance, looking in a search engine, how does the search engine know it's the same thing? Well, it has some metadata saying, hey, if somebody types in automobile, it's the same thing as car. So whichever one you type in, it would get both. And that's kind of how it relates to classification. So you might have a piece of data, a document, an object. And depending on your context and what you're trying to do with it, you can use these taxonomies, these basically existing lists of values, to add the correct metadata to that, whatever you have it, that document, for instance, in a way where it's already set up. So it has these synonyms, it has these related terms and stuff, and you don't have to like add all this additional metadata every time you want to add an object.
So, I'm gonna dumb that way down. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's the way we classify data and the way we explain data to a system.
Yeah, it's the terms we use to do that and how
Okay.
those terms relate to each other. So you might have content type like report, and you might say, well, a book report is a type of report. So you can have it set up as like, this is a book report. Oh, I know it's a report because this relationship between the terms already exists. And
Got
it's,
it.
you can also use it to authorize lists too. So it's not just somebody randomly typing in, like, what is this thing? It gives them classifiers a guide as to what's the appropriate metadata to add here.
It's usually a fairly strict structure and set of terms. So you alluded to the biological taxonomy earlier. Just for fun, I just looked it up just to put us on the right track. Above the word species, so above the word species, so we haven't gone, realistically, haven't gone that deep. There are eight parent classifications from life, domain, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and then species. This is the structure that starts to say, I've got a life, I've got a crustacean, I've got a mammal, and different things that fall into a very strict hierarchy that allows us to classify things, but with strict definitions. Now, in our modern language, it's correct to say that we don't use our language as strictly as our language is necessarily defined. So the idea of synonyms and ambiguity comes in, which is what I would imagine is a lot of, when you say a company has a taxonomy department, let me ask this, why would a company need a taxonomy department? That's a little abstract.
Let's imagine that you're like a retail company, for instance. You have a customer. You ask somebody from legal, what's a customer? You ask somebody from marketing, what's a customer? You ask somebody from logistics, shipping, what's a customer? You're going to get three different views of this concept of the customer. And they have like different sets of needs of what they need to know about the customer and how they understand it. But when it comes time to do analytics, like, oh, we want to look at our marketing spend on customers, or legal, oh, we need to create a contract for a customer, all this stuff, they need to across the board. Like, if you're going to sell something to somebody, you have to know legally, can we sell it to them? Can we sell it to them in their location? Who is this person if we want them to buy something? What target demographic are they in? What kind of work do they do? All this. So, this shared understanding of this person, this customer, you need a way of saying all these little bits and pieces are all related to this one concept of the customer. So here's what a customer is. Here's the metadata related to it. So that way system A and system B can say, oh, customer. Okay, it's this thing. And this is the metadata we get. And then we can put it together into an actual useful piece of information that you can analyze, that you can get information from, that you can make decisions on.
But you just went into one of my favorite examples as well. Alexis was laughing, is the definition of customer is something that's near and dear to my heart. But it goes further than that, because the concept of a customer is a little bit of an abstract concept. But if I was to take a retailer and start to categorize the products that they sell, then that is an area where they don't want any kind of ambiguity. It's an area where this toaster is an appliance, where you kind of want to know that a toaster is an appliance.
Right. And depending on what kind of retailer, like if you're just a kitchen or bath retailer, yes, it could be an appliance. If you're doing Hall Home, you might need to say, hey, this is a kitchen appliance.
Right.
Because appliance, it could be all sorts of other things that you sell.
Right. So that's interesting. Is there one taxonomy? Does an organization have one taxonomy? How does that work?
Usually they'll have multiple taxonomies that can be related in some ways, because it would be a huge giant mess to have a list of everything. And depending on the context, not every system needs to know everything about everything. So you might have taxonomies related to publishing your content. So, you know, content type, outlet, author, creator. You might also have for marketing, target industry, job level, job type, things like that. For product, product type, even going into things like product capabilities or some kind of standards, you can have it. So yeah, multiple taxonomies. One taxonomy would be so hard to manage. And then any time you'd save by having that list, you'd more than make up by trying to like disentangle all of this every time you wanted to use it.
Because you might even have terms that cross taxonomies, because terms are ambiguous and they might have different meanings depending on where they are within a taxonomy.
Exactly.
Would I be correct in saying that an address is a taxonomy? Where you say country has states, has towns or zip codes, where they are constructed within that taxonomical view to give you a relationship?
I would say it's more of a collection of taxonomies put together in a particular way. Yep. You'd have like your list of states, your list of zip codes, your list of street addresses, an optional thing for like a unit or building or other stuff. And then in the context, an address in Japan would look a lot different than an address in the US. So depending on what you're using the address for, you might have different taxonomies for like different country postal codes or
Okay.
When we talked about taxonomy before, we brought up the conversation when we were talking about metadata. And Eric, I've heard you say metadata a bunch of times. Based on what Dave and I talked about before about metadata and this conversation, it sounds like those two things are really, really similar, if not similar, very, very closely intertwined. Can you explain the difference or how they work together to me, just so I can understand that concept a little bit more?
Basically, it's in the way it's used. So the taxonomy is the list of terms. So let's say you have a content type taxonomy for publishing, and you have this list of different types of content. So you might have a report, an email, a white paper. Those lists can be used as metadata values. So if someone's going through and classifying it, they could use that term to add that as a metadata value. So, you know, white paper, this is a white paper content type, or author, this person, and add that on, and they have it as controlled values, basically. And then also a lot of taxonomy systems can have additional attributes that are in themselves metadata about the term. So things like preferred label, for instance, or these synonym relationships. Sometimes a taxonomy system will do translations that way. It'll show like term name and then like the alternate language term name. Oh, in Japanese, it will connect, so you don't have to hunt back through it. You can say, oh, I want this term name, but I want the Japanese version of it. That metadata already exists. I can just add it on to my document or whatever.
Okay. So metadata being that which it is, and taxonomy specifically referring to the words that we're using.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's clicking now. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
So I'm going to go in a slightly different direction for a minute, which is you describe yourself as a taxonomist and an information architect. And we talked about metadata in terms of data when we talked about it before. You're talking about metadata in terms of information, an information architect. Can you, just for our audience, define a little bit the difference between data and information from your perspective as an information architect rather than a data architect?
So for me, data is basically the raw material that you have.
Yep.
You might have like a sensor that provides a list of numbers for you.
Right.
The information part of it is making that into something usable. What are these numbers that I'm getting? And then how do I connect that to a system that can use those numbers to do something for me, for instance? Right.
So it becomes the context. So you've added a level of context to the data that you're receiving. You might be receiving a raw feed of numbers from a sensor, but you don't know until you add the metadata to it that this data is actually a time series of temperatures.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's only when it becomes a series of temperatures that it becomes information that then you could decide to take action on. My temperature is going up, therefore my information is then telling me that I've got knowledge that says I need to do something with this device because it's getting too hot.
Yep. And also the definition. So what is temperature in this context?
Right, exactly. What is too hot? Mm-hmm. What are those thresholds? Because it's this sensor is on this piece of equipment, therefore it's telling me something is wrong by getting too hot. And what is too hot for this piece of equipment versus that piece of equipment? That's when this data, the raw data, your raw commodity, if you like, becomes information. And so you're in the information world, not that data world.
Exactly. Yeah. Get the data and they're like, all right, we need a shared understanding of this and a definition of what this is. So people can understand like, okay, you're getting a data feed, a shared information. This is related to temperature. Here's what temperature is. And then the systems are like, we need to know stuff about temperature. We'll have that place is like, oh, this is marked as temperature. This is marked as temperature. Like this is the one right. concept. Yeah.
Right. And this is the unit that it's in. It's in mm-hmm. whatever and various other things. So you talked about coming to this from either a library science structure, which is what you did, or from the data perspective, the IT perspective, which is an interesting view. So that's kind of one coming up from data into what does this mean, and the other one coming down from the knowledge view that says, how do we pull this knowledge together? Is that
exactly.
a fair
yeah,
thought?
I would say that. And it's good when you have folks working together from those different backgrounds too, because they do bring that kind of bottom-ups and top-down view, and it makes mm-hmm. it a lot easier. A lot of us taxonomists aren't super technical folk, but it's good to at least get a base understanding of kind of what the tech is and kind of
right.
Yeah, what to expect from it.
But it's nice as a technologist, I come from the technology background into data, and sometimes it's nice to get the abstract view as well from the higher level people who say, so what do you mean by that? We tend to get pigeonholed into our own cycles.
Yeah. And it's just nice to understand like what the stuff you're doing is being used for. Like, oh, right. Hey, I'm part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What I'm hearing you guys say is that taxonomy, although it is obviously a word that we use in the data world very often, is part of all of our lives. And we maybe don't even realize it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like,
classifying
we're
anything.
We're talking about libraries right. here. I'm thinking right. about a clothing store and how maybe Amazon suggests that I buy is based on the taxonomy of the
yeah.
stuff right. that I've been picking yeah. before.
The retailer that I worked for, the online retailer, sold shoes and apparel. So we even had to do things like, what is a sandal, for instance? What are the types of shoe that there are so you can find it?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? That's actually a fabulous question. Because if I search for the word sandal, that's an ambiguous term. But you want to present anything that I might buy, and my definition of sandal might be different to Alexis's definition of sandal.
Exactly. Yeah. So sure. Even in sandal, what types of sandals are there? You know, do you want a fisherman sandal or do you want a heeled sandal?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's now into the definition of terms that we see in everyday life and every structure. So as we look at this, it becomes crucial, really, from an information point of view, and I'm using my words somewhat carefully, from an information point of view, to really know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And then with multiple taxonomies, too, for like a product, you can have these multiple points of view that the customer can then use as filters. For instance, that metadata can be turned into filters. So you might have a heeled sandal, for instance. Maybe you're looking for a particular heel height, or maybe you're looking for a particular color, or, you know, a particular material, for instance. Those different ways of describing that can be used with taxonomies. The taxonomy can be turned into metadata to classify that product and then used as filters on the user side to say, like, all right, they want leather. Okay, here's the stuff that's classified as being made of leather.
Yeah. So a lot more everyday than I would have ever guessed.
Yeah. And when you have that kind of multiple together, that's called the faceted structure. So you would have your materials facet, your heel height facet, that set of filters for a particular part or property of the item.
Mm-hmm. Like it. Once we started talking about taxonomy and the sense of shoes, things made a lot more sense to me. I'm all in it now. So thank you guys for putting it in Alexa's terms for me. I really appreciate it. I feel like that was like a great place to end the podcast in a very simple definition that probably most people can understand. So I really appreciate you bringing it down to my level for me, guys, or at least taking it to the shoe level for me.
Excellent.
That's what I'm here for.
Both of you. Thank you so much for being with us, Eric, today. This has been lovely.
Yes, thank you, Eric. We've still got a couple of things that we should touch on, but we'll have to wait for another time because we didn't actually go into ontology and we didn't actually go into knowledge graphs either, which is where I was kind of trying to get to. So I think we might have to come back to those, Alexis, at some point.
Ontology for sure, because we talked about ontology for a hot second and I was like, cancer? What? No, on T-tology, not C-tology. Right. So yes, I love that idea.
We'll it's not taxidermy and it's not oncology. So, but I would love to talk about it with you.
Excellent.
Well, perfect. Thank you both so much again for being with us today. For our listeners out there, if you are interested in joining us for one of these episodes of Data Dave Dives Deeper, please reach out to us at talktech@d3clarity.com.
Thank you.
Thanks.
If you have a question for Data Dave, reach out to us at talktech@d3clarity.com. We'll be happy to answer your question in the podcast. Thanks. Talk Tech with Data Dave is proudly brought to you by D3 Clarity, your partner in AI, data, and cloud innovation. At D3 Clarity, we offer industry-leading solutions designed to transform your business and drive lasting success. From tailored consulting services to cutting-edge technology strategies, we're here to take your operations to the next level. Ready to unlock your tech potential? Learn more at d3clarity.com.